Breaking Rules Publishing is currently accepting submissions in all genres, including for our four magazine lines, Horror Magazine, The Scribe, Triangle Writers, and the soon-to-be-released Someday Magazine. We also have several short story anthologies, such as The Hollow, Where All Evil Lies, and Wedding Anthology. So for more information, please visit breakingrulespublishing.com. And if you're enjoying Writer Someday to Author today, please make sure to hit subscribe. New episodes are uploaded weekly.
Hi, this is Richard Randall, and I'm interviewing Christopher Clausen Rule. This is the Prose Garden. We want to talk to Christopher because he's a publisher in Florida, has a number of authors that he works with, but he's also an author himself. Christopher, how you doing?
I'm really good, Richard. How are you?
I'm doing great, thanks.
How's St. Petersburg?
St. Pete is wonderful as always. We're all getting a little stir crazy here, though.
I'm sure you are. We miss you guys.
Yeah, we miss you too, buddy. So let's first start talking about your publishing. Why did you decide to become a publisher?
I decided to do this because my first experience with publishing went really awry. And when I tried to find a publisher, it took me like 3 or 4 months to write the book, and then 6 years to get it published, because you'd send out your letters and people would say no, and you'd send out your letters and people would say no, or you try and find an agent and they would say no. And then it got to the point where it was just totally crazy. And then finally someone actually said, yes, I'll be your agent and we're going to do this. But before you do that, you have to change your book. And it was like, for crying out loud, why am I changing my book? This is the story that I want. And then so I kind of filed along with her and went to do all that. And it just became something that it wasn't the book I wanted. So in that process, she found a publisher who would take it, and they turned around and said, oh, by the way, we want this to be like this. And I was just like, for crying out loud, this isn't even my book anymore. This is your book. So why are we even doing this? So I got rid of both of them and said, I'll go and try and find somebody else. And I did. And I found a different publisher. But then when that happened, they turned around and put the book in my hand and said, there you go, you're on your own, do what you need to do. And at that point, I had never marketed the book before. I had never really been in the book industry before or knew what to do. I had no connections. I was nothing. I was lost. So I kind of have figured this out on my own as I go along. I kind of made up a lot of it, you know, because we're breaking the rules as we go. So that's just kind of the way it is. And I wanted to create this community where authors wouldn't have to have that feeling where their story was being ripped off or transformed or turned around into something that they didn't want anymore. It was just going to be theirs. And two, I didn't want them to feel like I was putting the book in their hands and saying, here you go, now go and do whatever you want. So we created a marketing situation that would help that out. And now the whole premise of what we're trying to create is that all the authors who come in are actually trying to help promote all the authors that are in inventory. So that,
oh, that's fantastic.
It's kind of like how many, if you have 170 people who are in your grasp and all of them are helping you promote your book, how much further are you going to get with those 170 people as you go by yourself? And
how many authors do you have now?
We have 175.
Oh, holy cow. And I think last time we talked, you have international as well as national.
There are 23 different countries that we're in.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
With your first book, what inspired you to, or what? How did you decide that you wanted to write a book, and what inspired that first one?
I was inspired by my 16-year-old daughter because she kind of turned the tables on me. I was reading an awful lot, and I was reading this one book. I don't remember what it was. But she asked me how it was, and I told her that I could write a better story. And she was 16 at the time. And you having children know how this is.
Yeah.
When your 16-year-old says, then why don't you do that? Well, then by God, I will. So I sat down and I wrote the story. And then it was just a matter of, see, I finished it. I can write a book. And then it became, well, now you have to have it published. Are you going to be able to do that? Well, you smart ass little kid. Yep, I sure am. And I'm going to show you how I'm going to do it. And then finally, I had a tangible thing in my hand. I'm showing her, look at what I've got. See there, I finished it. And her response was, what you gonna do now, Dad? What you gonna do now? Just like, God damn. So I was like, now we've got to do book signings. Now we've got to figure out how to market it. And then it just escalated into all this. as I got to the third book and people were starting to contact me and say, how did you do this? Or how are you getting your book out there? What did you do to market it? That kind of thing. And I thought, well, if people are going to start asking me how to do this or how to get your book published, then why am I not doing this for them and kind of making a little bit off the side? So that's how that all happened. And then the whole process of, I don't want this to happen to anybody else, kind of filtered its way in.
Yeah. And I know for me, when we first met, because, well, for the listeners out there, I'm an artist as well. And Christopher's husband, David, is an artist. We were both represented at the same gallery. At the time, I'd been working on my own book. And when I met Christopher there at the gallery, we just started talking and he asked what I was working. And I explained my book that I was doing. He read a little bit of it and decided to publish me. And it was really enlightening. And it was such a big help because I had no idea what I was doing or where to go or how to handle anything like this. And you really directed me in such a positive way. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You were kind of, I have to tell you, there are a lot of authors who are not, and this is not in a bad way, but are not as easy as you are. It was really easy because whatever idea I came up with, you were like, yeah, let's try it. Let's see what happens. There are others who you say, let's do this, this, and this. And they're like, no, I'm not doing that. So you're kind of pulling teeth at some of them. But with you, it was really easy because let's have a book sign over here, or let's do this over here. Let's put it in that and see how it all goes. And you know what? If five people show up, then that's five books just sold. If 20 people show up, then you've got 20 people or 20 books just sold.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you got to get it out there somehow.
Oh, exactly. Exactly. Now, what are you working on now?
Well, you know, when we were in Italy, we saw all those doors. I remember I put them on Facebook and they were just incredible doors. And I just kind of thought to myself, if I were to take, you know, and you see all the picture books of all the doors, the red doors or the whatever. And sure. I thought, well, why couldn't I create a short story for all the doors? And I picked 13 different doors and I decided to call it Tredici Porta, which is 13 doors in Italian. And so each door has its own story, short story with it. It's either going to take place on the front of the door or behind the door. All except for one. I have this one copper church door that I found that is just very ornate. And it was like, what am I going to do with this? So I decided to make the story take place in the threshold of the door. And I thought, who does that? Nobody. So here we go. That's what I'm
I love do. That idea. That's great.
That's what I'm going to do. And I think I'm about halfway done. So I've got six or seven stories I have to finish.
Good but for you.
I'm a little time concerned because I have so much to do. Trying to find time to finish it can be a little difficult.
Oh, and that's how all of us are right now. I mean, for me, I'm such a creature of habit, and I do all my writing in a coffee shop. But now the coffee shop's been closed for 2 months, so it's hard for me to concentrate on actually doing something, putting something down.
We should talk about your book, 100 Little Men. Let's do that.
All right.
When you brought it to me, you were telling me how the whole essence of it and how it all got started, and that you actually drew all these pictures in this coffee shop. Why don't you explain that a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, how it all started, it was going through a fairly serious rough patch. My only escape was to go to a coffee shop and sit down and do pen and ink drawings of somebody I saw in the shop. And I was doing more abstract cubist figure studies. Before I knew it, I had a couple hundred of these things. And like I said, all were done in coffee shops and not just in, at that time I was living in California, not just in Fresno, but in LA and San Francisco and airports as I traveled. I was going to Minneapolis to see family. So they were in Minneapolis, a lot of different cities, but always in coffee shops. When I moved to Houston, a friend of mine said, you know, you should write the story that goes along with this sometime. So I thought, sure, you know, why not? I sat down thinking I was just going to write a short journal and maybe one book and that'd be it. And before I knew it, I had five journals filled with all my notes from everything that had happened in that 7-year time span. And I was surprised. I was surprised that I had that much to say. A long time ago, I used to work on a publication in Chicago as an art director, and did some editing and a little bit of writing for the magazine back then. But to me, it was always a chore. It was never a pleasant experience. And then I guess I'm like a lot of people. I get lost in the jots and tittles, like where does that period go and where does that comma go and, right, you know, all that. But finally, things just kind of came together, and it was such a release to be able to put this down. And then when I met you, you were such a big help to get it all together and give me some insight in how the whole thing should flow.
And tell me, how long did it take us to create this book?
Oh, a while.
That was such a challenge. Oh my God, that was such a challenge.
Well, it was something because my computer didn't play well with your computer.
And I so think you're right.
You know, and part of it too is I didn't understand some of the formatting. So I wrote it one way, and then when it was sent over to you, your computer formatted a different way, which completely
messed it all up.
But we finally did come up with a good solution of just sitting down and going page by page and just getting it done.
And what we should say too is that your particular book is not like a regular art storybook or story or a regular novel. You have pictures on one side and then you've got some text that are going down, and it's in varying places along the page.
Yeah.
So that, and it's never ever the same. It took us a long time to get smart. I'm glad we finally did.
Yeah.
Because for us to sit down together with both of our computers next to each other and say, this is how I want this to go.
Yeah.
Was probably the best thing we could have done for this particular book.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when I did the second book, Quiet Man, that was just more traditional, a short story collection, and that went a lot easier. And then the new one I'm working on is the same way. It's a short story collection. So
are you almost done with that?
Pardon?
Are you almost done with that?
It's the writing is all done. It's just waiting now to figure out what I do for the cover. And again, it's funny because it has a similar feel to your new book, because I was hitting a little bit of a writer's block of what to do next. And then I realized the first two books were all done at coffee shops. And I had a bunch of my life is around coffee shop culture. And it's been that way for as long as I can remember. So then I realized that I know these people. These people have all been a part of my life in one way or another. Coffee has been a part of my life one way or another forever. So the first section of the book is just talking about how coffee and coffee shops have related to me throughout the years. Then there's short stories, and some of the short stories relate back to the people I knew in the first part of the book. And then at the end of the book, one of the characters in the book is a writer that sits at a coffee shop writing stories about everybody that's in the coffee shop, but he writes his own version of all those people.
All those people, that's kind of
cool. Yeah. So they each have their own story, which is different from the real story, and then there's a third version of the story at the end of the book.
That's all made up. That's actually kind of cool.
Well, we hope so. You never know.
I think it sounds good. What do you think of short stories? Do you like reading short stories?
Better than
like a full-length novel?
It depends. There's some novels that I'm totally in love with, but then when I get to some authors like Stephen King, for example, I love Stephen King's short stories way better than I do the novels. I think he puts so much into like a few thousand words that it surprises me. So yeah, I've always liked short stories. What about you?
I've written, besides the seven that I've written so far for this book, there were four other before. And when I did that, my friend Patty, you met Patty McCarthy? Remember?
Yes.
Why Madonna? She.
Which is not Why Madonna anymore.
Why? What is it now?
Someone bought it and it's Dracula's something now. Oh, but it's another wine shop.
That's too bad. That was one of my favorite places to go. Anyway.
Oh, yeah.
She's a big short story person, and she kind of pushed me to say, why don't you just try it? And I, at the time, I was like, I really like to get into the depth of the story and tell all the details of what's going on. I mean, right down to what the person's wearing and what they're thinking and where they're going and what the food tastes like and what they're listening to, the music, and bringing all that into the story. And it just doesn't feel like sometimes I can do that in the short story until I actually wrote it. I realized that instead of writing, 20 chapters, if you could just write 3 and tell your story and then kind of make it so, oh, there's an open end, you can go ahead and write more about it if you want to, or just leave it as is, that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
So once I finally figured that part out, I was relaxed about it. And then writing the short stories was very easy. So I kind of liked it.
Oh, good.
One of them, I should tell you, one of them is called The Pebble. And I'm not sure if you read that one or not, but I've always wanted to start off a book or a short story with somebody having sex, just like right in the midst of it. So that's what I did. I just ran the story right out, and they're right having sex, and it just kind of turned itself into more something not so pretty. And once I did that, I decided in the rest of the books that I write, I'm going to kind of do that, so that the story is kind of going along like you think it's going to do, and then it's going to twist around, and I'm like, what the hell? And where did that come from? Just because I just feel like I want to keep the reader kind of on their toes and to play with them and say, no, this isn't how this is going to end. This is how this is going to end way over here. So
I like that though.
Yeah. So the one book that I wrote was called Delacroix. And it did that. It was all about this rowboat and the person who owned it. And it was kind of like a two-story thing where the father had it at one point and the son has it later on, and the whole story is behind all of them and how they kind of connected at the end. But the story is kind of going along like it normally would. And then it just turned on a dime to be something really, I don't want to say disastrous, but cynical and really Simon Barr-ish, and it just really got nasty really, really quick. So I kind of like that. Because when you're going along and the reader thinks that you're going in this direction and they think they know how it's going to end, and you've kind of cut them off at the knees and said, nope, sorry, that's not the way it is. This is how we're going to do this.
That's Not Canon is a community committed to giving new podcasters a platform to share their voices and have some fun. If you would like to get started podcasting or simply enjoyed this podcast and would like to find out more, you can head over to our website at thatsnotcanon.com. If you simply want to support us and what we do, we would very much welcome your patronage at patreon.com/thatsnotcanon.
Now, back to publishing, with Breaking Rules Publishing, what would you say your mission statement is for Breaking Rules?
Our mission statement is to be the writer's publisher. And that basically what I was talking about before was to make sure that the writer comes first and that the writer, that our thoughts about their story is rather incidental. Yes, when you submit your stuff to us, we're going to say, it needs to be grammatically correct, or all of your punctuation has to be correct, or whatever. And we're going to read it and say, yes, this is a really cool story, whether I like it or not. For instance, I'm not a big horror fan. I don't like Stephen King, but other people do. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to publish it. That just means that I don't care to read it. So right. When someone sends me something, it doesn't matter if I actually like it or not, or if it's my genre that I like to read. It just has to, the book itself has to flow like a book should or a story should. And if it does that, then I'm okay. If it doesn't, then I send it back to the person and say, I need you to rework this in this way so that it all kind of makes sense. I'm not changing your story. I'm telling you that your story doesn't flow from one set to the next. So, and you need to work on your punctuation and you need to work on your grammar.
Yeah.
But that kind of thing. Otherwise, we're good to go. I mean, if you want to get your book published, we'd be glad to help you do that. And we can help you with your cover, we can help you with your blurb, we can help you with any kind of marketing that you have to have done. I mean, there's all kinds of things. I should even bring this up. We've developed magazines now that we're trying to get people to purchase ads into or be smart about this and write a short story so they can go into the magazine. And when that happens and you have a book with us, we put your book next to your short story that says, oh, by the way, he also wrote this, or they also wrote this. so that we're helping you promote your book inside of this, and we're also going to pay you for your short story. So this is kind of a win-win situation for you all around.
So yeah.
That's what we're kind of doing, trying to find different ways to market people, especially now since everyone's kind of caught up at home.
Yeah.
Doing this, what we're doing now, this whole Zoom thing, and just kind of reworking it. And you're going to get an invitation to this, by the way. Trying to find 15 people who are willing to say, we're going to be part of this group and we're going to promote this one person every single day, or every day, there's going to be a different person. So for instance, tomorrow is your day. All these 15 people are going to promote your book or your books on that. And then on Thursday, it's going to be me. So all those 15 people are going to promote my books. And then on Friday, it's going to be Jennifer, where everyone's going to promote her. So it's going to go like that all the way through. And then it's just going to, the cycle will start over again. That way, every 3 weeks, someone is pushing, 15 people are pushing your book to try and help you promote it. That's
a great
one,
idea.
That's one component of it. The other component is, after that first week is done, those five people will come together in a Zoom meeting, and everyone, all 15 people, will invite all their friends and their followers to come together and learn or hear those five people talk about their book so that they can learn more about it. So that every Friday, let's use that as an example, every Friday there'll be a Zoom meeting that people will be invited to so that they can learn about the five books that were promoted that week. And then next week they'll start all over again. So every Monday there'll be a new person, and every Tuesday there'll be a new person, and it'll just rotate like that all throughout.
Oh, I like that. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
That's really inventive, too. I've never heard of anybody doing that before.
You got to do something, right? Because you can't go to a bookstore. So that's just the idea. And hopefully, as we go along. And actually, here, I should talk about this, the anthologies that we have, too.
Yes.
This is an interesting thing. We have a horror anthology. It's called The Hollow, Where All Evil Lies. And that comes out every other month. And our editor, our executive editor, her name is Patty, I just mentioned her, had 120, this is crazy, had 120 stories that she had to read for the last issue for May. 120. There were 120 people who submitted just for that one book. You obviously can't keep them because the book would be too big to carry.
Right.
So we divided it and we came down with about 28 different stories that we liked out of that 120 and created two books. But still, the point of that is, people are getting so used to seeing that there's an anthology coming out and it's getting very popular and people are starting to really buy it, that it's becoming effective for them.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, and then the other one, every other month we pick a different topic. Like in February, it was a love thing. And then April was spring, and then June was weddings. And then in August, we decided to do a first degree thing. We don't have a lot of legal stuff or detective stories or your Nancy Drew and Hardy Boy situation thing.
Yeah.
So that's what this short story book is going to be about. It's called The First Degree, and it will be all about law and mystery and Agatha Christie stuff if you want to. So.
Oh, that's kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah. So that's going to be kind of fun. Hopefully, a lot of things will come up from that. But it's kind of cool. Someone had asked me the other day how my emails are going, and it was, I think it was Jennifer. And I said, I have to spend 3 hours every morning going through my emails every day. That's insane to me that I spend 3 hours a day, because there are so many people who are either submitting or they have questions, or they're not looking at the website and they don't know what to do, or there's just all these things that have to be done. So 3 hours out of my day every morning from 7 until 10, I'm sitting at my computer doing nothing but answering emails. Is that crazy or what?
That's fantastic. That's a good problem to have.
It's not a bad thing. It's just like you're crying out loud 3 hours at a time. Yeah. That's pretty much the average.
No, but that's good. And you put yourself in a position now, especially worldwide, where people have seen your name, know who you are, and they're reaching out to you. And there's so many authors like me that didn't have a clue about where to go or how to handle this situation. And there you are, and you've helped us all out.
Trying.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one of those, especially now, since we're all kind of stuck in our houses, you kind of have to figure a different way to make this all work. So There's like this, there's a podcast that we're doing, and did you know there's such a thing as a virtual podcast tour? Are you aware of that?
No.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is.
There's a group that's come together and they've created a virtual podcast tour. So they've come together and said, we're going to get all these podcasts. Let's just say that there's 40, 50 of them. For $50, we're going to give you access to 30, and you're going to be able to have an interview with those 30 podcasts, and they're going to shoot it out to all their people. So for $50, you can have 30 interviews with 30 different podcasters, and then people are going to be able to listen to what you have to say, and they'll direct them to your book so that they can buy it. People can buy it. That right there is amazing. The people are coming up with these ideas. Look, we're using Zoom to do this, or we're using Zoom to do the meetings that we want to have on Friday, because you can't get into a bookstore or you can't get in front of people any other way. So you've got to come up with a different idea so that people can actually see you and be realistic and not just a name or a face on your Facebook account.
It's been interesting because I do some film work too. And I've had a few auditions now where all they want to do is do like a Zoom meeting for the audition. So they connect like we're connecting here. And I do my part, and they either say yay or nay from this. And I even did one commercial. This was a couple months ago now, where the actual commercial was shot on a Zoom meeting.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, and they just said you got to have the right lighting. You have to have the right background.
That's interesting.
Yeah. But everybody's coming up with inventive ways to still continue doing their business in the middle of all this crazy that we have right now.
Some of the people that we have in our magazines, I should promote those for a second. So you know about The Scribe. The Scribe is a multi-genre short story poetry magazine, and you can get stuff inside of it and journaling, little helpful hints and stuff like that. And then the other one, there's two more. And the next one, actually there's going to be four. You don't know about the other one. Horror is coming. It comes out, and these are all monthly. So horror, everything in there has the horror genre or thriller or all paranormal, which is kind of cool. And that's, again, that is just amazing that is just like one of the more popular ones to submit to, yet the Scribe magazine is the more popular magazine. And then Triangle Writers is all LGBT focused. So you don't have to be an LGBT writer. Your story just has to be LGBT. So that's kind of. The next one that we're going to start in July is called Someday. Someday, this will be really interesting for you. Someday is going to be all, not just writers, it's going to be all art combined. So it's going to be art and music and drama and creative writing and dance all under one umbrella. So and it's going to be an odd even situation. This is how it's going to go. All the odd months are going to be take place worldwide submissions. So anyone can submit to it and they can put... We're going to have a performance, a dance performance on July 8th. Come to it. Or this is my new album is going to be coming out on July 15th. You can buy it here. That kind of thing. And then we're going to have short stories, and then writers are going to put their things in. If they have book signings, they can put them in there. Or if actors have a performance they're going to do, or a play that's coming up, or a musical, they can advertise and talk about it in this particular book. All the even months are going to be specific to a certain area or region. So like for the first one will be August. That's going to be in Fort Lauderdale, in Wilton Manors, in Pompano Beach. And then in October, you're going to be there because it's all going to be St. Pete, Clearwater, and Tampa. Oh, and then we're going to go up the East Coast. We're going to go up to the New York, Philadelphia, New England area. And then we're going to go over to Michigan and Chicago, and then over up into Seattle and down into California and then across, so that we're just going to go around the country until we've hit places that these people can promote. So everything in that particular book or magazine for that particular month will be about the authors or the artists or the musicians or the actors or the singers all in that area, or dancers all in that area.
Nice. So that's genius. I love that.
That's a really cool idea.
Yeah. So we'll good for you.
Yeah. So again, I think it's just one of those things that I think there's no really bad idea. We just have to kind of tweak it around to see how it works. So that's my thought. Anyway, we'll see how.
No, I think that's fantastic. I mean, you're reaching out in really creative ways. I appreciate that. And I do need to send you more stories.
Yes, you do.
I
really like your writing style. So yes, you do.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, I'll send you transcripts of the new stuff. And like I said, I'm working on a cover right now and just trying to figure out what I want to do. Because it's the new book's called Lives and Loves at Cafe Dolce Vita.
Cool.
And
where did you come up with that name?
You know, it was funny because I couldn't come up with the name for a long time. And to be honest, I don't know. It was just like, because I was all, there's love stories in it. It's like people's slice of life for a lot of the people. So the lives and loves kind of like fit in. And I didn't know what to name the coffee shop where everything takes place. Then I saw a thing on TV. It was, I didn't watch the movie, but I just saw a little thing that La Dolce Vita, that was the Fellini movie? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Was coming on. I went, oh, that's kind of cool. And then I just had the guy that owned the coffee shop bought it from an older couple who the wife had passed away. The guy didn't want to take care of the coffee shop anymore. So this guy who was a frequent customer and had money
on it.
Loved the coffee shop and bought it, but he didn't want to keep calling it what it was called. And he loved that movie, so he decided to call it Cafe Dolce Vita.
I think that's a great idea.
Well, thanks. Well, you're welcome. I liked it.
It's so funny that you say, when we were in Delaware, one of the coffee shop that was right down the road from us actually was called Dolce. But that's why I asked you, how did you come up with that? That's good job.
Oh, thanks.
Are we running out of time?
We have 3 minutes.
Okay. Then we should probably cut it off.
Yeah. So do you have anything that you like last words you want to leave with the audience?
Just that I put something on my Facebook today. It was, are you a quitter? And I think that all writers need to be quitters, and basically saying you need to quit worrying about your self-worth, or you need to quit worrying about what other people are going to think about you, or you need to quit coming up with ideas or reasons for you not to write, or you need to quit whatever it is that's stopping you from putting your pen to your paper. And you just need to sit down and you need to do it. In that way, you need to be a quitter.
Yeah, exactly. And I know even times when I said I was having a writer's block, I would still make a point to sit down every day and write something. And maybe it was only a paragraph, and maybe it was only a couple sentences, but I needed to have that discipline of just sitting down and doing it. Because the only way that being a creative person, the only way that you get better at what you do is to actually do it.
And I think too, you have to find that place. You found coffee shops. You're going to have to find that place. If you're going to sit in your house and you're going to sit and realize, oh, I've got to do the laundry, or I need to make dinner, or I could be vacuuming the floor right now, or whatever.
I should be drinking more tequila.
Exactly. So those are all different kinds of things that you should be doing. You just have to quit that and find someplace else to go.
Yeah.
So those are my final words. Quit. Quit doing those things that are stopping you from doing what you love.
I love that. So what's next? Anything special next for you besides writing? Any fun things for you and David going on?
We want to go to England soon. So that's our next trip. We're going to go to England.
Oh, when is that? How exciting.
We haven't decided yet. We've got to kind of feel how things are going on down here and my schedule with the books and stuff. And neither one of us have gone, and we really want to. And our whole thing about life is that you shouldn't stay in one place. You should see and discover other things.
I always admired that about you.
We've kind of found where we really like to live. This is a really, where we are now is a spectacular place. But there are other places to see, which we can go and visit. We can go there for 2 weeks and come back, and then we can go someplace else for 2 weeks.
Well, I think we have to cut it off. Christopher, I'm so glad you got to be here today. And you know I love you, buddy.
Love you, too.
Yeah, this has been the Prose Garden.
Embrace Magazine is the first ever LGBTQ+ magazine in North Central Florida. It premieres on May 31st, 2020 as a digital-only annual magazine with a possible limited print. The mission is to present stories of gay and straight communities coming together to live, work, play, and pray. The magazine provides content that is appealing to both the LGBTQ plus community as well as straight communities. To learn more, visit our website as embracemagazine.us and follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/embracemagazine.us.